Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How many Iowans are problem gamblers, and what can be done about it? Let's go in-depth with Eric Preuss, Program Manager with the Iowa Gambling Treatment Program with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Eric, how many people in Iowa gamble?
Well, from our 2015 survey that we just completed on the attitudes and behaviors of Iowans towards gambling, we see that the vast majority of Iowans have gambled at some point in time in their lifetime. Specifically, we know that about 87.6% of adult Iowans have ever gambled in their lifetime, and we know that about 68.1% have gambled in the past 12 months, and as we also found in the survey that around 39% have participated in gambling activities in the last 30 days.
That's a lot.
Yes, gambling is a fairly widespread activity within the state of Iowa, knowing that gambling takes in quite a list of behaviors that's included. So it's playing slot machines, playing table games at casinos, playing poker, video blackjack, dice games, scratch pull tickets, other lottery games, betting on the horses or on the races, playing bingo, doing friendly bets or wagers on card games with families or friends, doing personal skill type of bets, playing horse for money, that type of stuff. Also include office pools, the raffles that are licensed throughout the state, betting on amateur and professional athletics, even illegal online gambling would be included in this as well. And even high risk trading of stocks and commodities would be included.
Wow.
So it's quite a list. So we're pretty, when we're defining about what is gambling activity, we're pretty specific about saying this is what we consider gambling, and I'm trying to get a sense of in Iowa for adult Iowan what percentage are partaking in these behaviors at any given time during the year.
Of those people, what proportion of them are problem gamblers?
And we define that in two different ways. One is looking at those Iowans who have experienced some sort of problem related to their gambling. So they've experienced one or more symptom or sign of a gambling disorder in the past year. And that's about 294,000 Iowans, or about 13% of the adult Iowans. And we know it's about 2% of the adult Iowans that actually meet the criteria for a gambling disorder in the past year.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about problem gambling with Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. I bet some people know they've got a problem and just don't want to do anything about it, and others might not even know that they have a problem. How do people know if they've got a problem?
Well, one of the things, there's a series of questions one could ask themselves. We use what's called a brief biosocial gambling screening tool, which simply asks three very simple questions, and it's all prefaced by, in the past 12 months, have you experienced this? And one is, have you become restless or irritable, anxious when trying to stop or cut down on their gambling? And what that's really getting at is, has someone built up a tolerance to gambling? Are they needing to bet more and more and more, and when they try to cut back, they just don't feel like their normal selves. There's some the brain chemistry has been rewired in such a way is that if they try to stop gambling, they go into these type of withdrawal where they get irritable and anxious when they try to stop and cut down. A second question that they can ask themselves, have you tried to keep your family and friends from knowing that you're gambling or how much you're gambling? If you're keeping your gambling a secret, why is it needing to be a secret? Would that be an indication for them that they might be doing more and wagering more than what they may have the means to do so? So, and I.e., for example, they may have $100 of discretionary income a month, and hey, I'm going to go to the casino and I'm going to bet. I'm going to wager up to $100. When I'm done and I leave. And what they're finding is that now they're wagering $200 or $300 or $400, and they're not able to leave when they've hit their limit. And they're now using beyond their discretionary income. They're getting into their grocery money, their utility money, their mortgage money, et cetera. And then a third question is that in the last 12 months, have they had any financial trouble as a result of the gambling? And we add another piece to that is, have they asked for a bailout? Have they asked for assistance from a family member, a friend, a church, et cetera, to help bail them out of the debts that are happening because of their gambling behavior?
Wow. Now, I have a bunch of friends that are really into sports, and they're doing sports gambling now. They're doing I guess I don't know if they bet on outcomes of games, but I know they're always talking about their fantasy leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be a problem?
It's one of the things that we found in the study. We were very specific in this round of questions for that we'd completed in the 2015 survey was to get a better sense for Iowans in how their participation in fantasy sports is impacting them, and how is that related to other gambling behaviors. And so we include playing fantasy sports within sort of that realm of gambling-like behaviors. And what we found is that individuals that are participating in fantasy sports and fantasy sports league, they're at higher risk to have experienced a problem related to their gambling activity in the past year than someone who doesn't.
So let's say I've got 5-6 friends that do that. Is one of them likely a problem gambler then?
Well, potentially we're looking at about 19% of the individuals who participate in fantasy sports may have be experiencing a sign or symptom. So, one out of five, potentially.
Yeah, so one of those guys has a problem, maybe, I guess, statistically.
Right. Statistically, yes. If you had 6 people in a room, potentially one of them, if they were all playing fantasy sports, one of them may be having some difficulties related to either their fantasy sports play or the other related gambling behaviors that they're participating in. Because that's the other connection here, is that it's usually someone who's playing fantasy sports, at least those folks that we're seeing that are at risk for problem gambling, are also engaged in other gambling behaviors as well, playing casinos, lottery, et cetera.
Well, it's sort of interesting, too, as I've noticed, I don't know enough about sports I don't know enough, and I'm smart enough, I'm not going to bet on them. Maybe if I knew more, I would. But one of the things that I've noticed is our conversations have changed when we're all together, is that that's pretty much all that they want to talk about. And so I guess there are other consequences to it as well. I mean, just the social dynamics have sort of changed.
Well, right. And those are the types of things that, when you look at other possible signs or symptoms of, gosh, is my gambling crossing the line into, having a problem, is when they're spending more and more time, kind of talking about their past gambling experiences and can't wait to go do it again, or, hey, gosh, look how much I won this time and I can't wait to go back and do it again. And as I mentioned earlier, that need to want to put more and more money into it because I'm wanting to win more, I want to get that sense of excitement and adrenaline rush that I was getting when I was playing earlier. The other piece of that, sometimes we'll have individuals who become sort of they gamble in such a way as to run away from a problem or to deal with the anxiety or depression or other feelings that they might have about themselves that they don't necessarily want to deal with, and the gambling kind of gives them that rush, that adrenaline that helps them forget about what might be going on with them. And another key factor, too, for individuals is that after they've lost money gambling, how soon are they going back to try to re-win it? There's this sense going on with an individual who might be struggling with their gambling is that, gosh, I had that winning streak, and now I'm not winning. In fact, I'm losing more now. But because I'm losing more now, I must be getting that much closer to my next big win. And that's a fallacy. That's a myth. That's not true. Most gambling activities are random. There's random odds every single time you play. So if someone's on a winning streak or a losing streak, it's all random in nature. There is no cause or effect because of the number of times that you're playing a game or the type of game that you're playing.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about problem gambling with Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. If somebody's listening and they're thinking, maybe I have a problem, what do you suggest they do?
Well, we really encourage two avenues of where help can be available or get information. One is 1-800-BETS-OFF can be called. It's available 24/7, 365 days a year, where trained professionals can answer your questions, and we can link you to the professionals that are in the home area from where the caller is to help them walk through those questions that they might have and give them some information. And it's not just for the individual who might be thinking that they might have a problem. It could also be for concerned others, for parents, for family members who might have a concern about, gosh, something doesn't look right with my husband right now, and I don't know quite what to do about it. They also can call 1-800-BETS-OFF and be linked to services to help walk through what would be appropriate next steps. The other thing is people can go to www.1800betsoff.org, and there's a wealth of information and resources that are available to help individuals understand some of the myths and facts about gambling and get a better understanding of the resources available. There's a link on there to the providers that are in their home county areas that are serving their counties, so that if they wanted to reach out via an email or a phone call to those providers, they can also do that.
What about if we've got a friend or even a spouse and we think there might be a problem, do we say something or just sort of let it go?
Well, our encouragement is to get educated and then have the conversation. One of the things we talk about on at 1-800-BETS-OFF is that, number one, the gambling problems are hard to talk about. And we don't want to be in a position to judge. We just want to be able to listen and understand. And sometimes the behavior itself is almost a cry for help, and they're almost asking and inviting for that conversation to happen. But it needs to be done in a very non-judgmental way. It needs to be done, and that's why we encourage folks to call 1-800-BETS-OFF and, talk with the professionals and have them kind of walk through, gee, what could that conversation look like when I have that with my loved one? Because I'm really concerned, and it may be affecting me. That's, the other thing we saw in our study is that almost 1 in 4 adult Iowans know someone who's been affected negatively by their gambling.
It's real easy to judge, isn't it, and real hard to help sometimes.
Well, and that's part of, we're trying to really break down the stigma associated with problem gambling. And, as we talk with individuals and we talk with the public about, from a public health model, this is a brain disease. This is something that's affecting the brain. And for the individuals that are struggling, they're trying to figure out, why am I so different than the other person? That, why is it that 85% of adult Iowans who can gamble don't have problems and I am? So what's that all about for me? And there's often this incredible amount of shame and guilt that's associated with that, is why can't I control this? And, then you get, the general public looking at someone who might have a gambling problem, you know, they're casting that judgment as to, gosh, they must be weak, or there must be some with their morals, and hey, I would never gamble, and why, you know, that's just a sign of weakness, et cetera, and not really fully understanding all that goes into what a gambling disorder is and the brain chemistry that's all being affected by the gambling activity. It's very similar as to someone getting hooked on cocaine or heroin or alcohol. It's like building a relationship with your best friend, and then all of a sudden your best friend starts stabbing in your back, and you're wondering, why is that continuing to happen to me? But you keep going back for more because it's filling this internal need of the excitement and the rush and the euphoria. And for, you know, 85% of Iowans, you know, they lose their, you know, they get to their $50 limit when they're gambling, and they're saying, I'm done and I'm walking out, is like, because they can't. For someone who has, you know, this predisposition and has maybe triggered the beginning of a gambling disorder, it just kind of takes over, and they don't have the ability to just say no without having someone intervene, have a conversation with them, and let them know that, hey, there are other options for you. And part of that is also learning what are responsible ways of gaming or gambling, and learning how to set appropriate limits. So for someone who has, you know, maybe just experienced their first big loss, or, you know, at the casino or on the lottery, or they spent too much, you know, whatever the situation might be with their gambling behavior, is to help them get a better sense of what are the appropriate limits to set on my gambling behavior so I don't have any further problems with my gambling.
Thanks to Eric Preuss for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.